In John 10:10, it says, I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. We're going to go over some of the things that we touched on when I was in here before. We're going to go on into them a little deeper. And in this class, it's a little bit like your righteousness class or the authority of the believer. But this is what God put on my heart to impart to you about the life of Christ. And I went back to him and I said, shouldn't I be going about what you did when you were 12 and what you did when you're... What he revealed to me, what was most important to him, was that you got what he did for you. And you understand how to apply what he did in his life for you. What he wants you to get is that he came to bring you life and that eternal life. In that eternal life is the nature of God. Put on the inside of you is the nature of God. That's what Jesus Christ did in his life. What he did for you. He gave you eternal life. He gave you, there was imparted to you the nature of God. He came that you might have life and have it abundantly, and we're going to talk about the abundance of that life. What does he mean by that abundance? And go ahead, I want you to turn to this. It's Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. Now, who was the one man's offense? It was Adam. Referring to Adam here. So because of what Adam did, death reigned. But much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So I have this question for you. Who is reigning on earth? We are supposed to be. Because notice it says, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. This is not saying that Jesus Christ is reigning right now on this earth. It says you are. Now you do it by Jesus, but you are the ones that are to be reigning. This is the abundant life. This is what I believe he wants you to see. He wants to get across to you that he came to bring you life, but in an abundance of life. Not just when you get to heaven, everything's going to be nice and wonderful, but he wants you to understand how to make your life on this earth now nice and wonderful. That's what he came to do. He came to restore what Adam lost. He came to restore it for you so that you could rule and reign on this earth the way God intended Adam to rule and reign. That's what Jesus bought for you on that cross. That's what he did. He restored you as a king and a queen in the family of God. He restored you to be children of God. He brought you back into the kingdom of God. But that ruling and reigning happens when you know you're supposed to do it. It doesn't necessarily happen automatically. We've talked about that also. Adam lost the right to rule and reign through that sin. He lost his dominion. But Jesus Christ bought it back for you. But we want to talk about then, how do we rule and reign? What does it mean to rule and reign? First, you need to know that you're supposed to. A lot of times, people are waiting for Jesus Christ to do it for them. Oh, God, do something about the devil. No, you do something about the devil. He already has. All you do now is you use his name. He gave you the directions. You do it in his name. Oh, God, do something about the sickness. He has. Now you do something. I am healed in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. That's what it says. That's what he promises us. The abundant life. He's promising us abundant life. Sometimes there's a fight for it. Have you noticed that? I have noticed, but the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, sometimes there's a fight until the enemy knows you know your rights. And then he flees. But until he knows that you know, there's a battle. Until you enforce your rights as a king or a queen on this earth, there's a battle. You've got to stand up, guard your property, guard your car, pray over your car, pray over your stuff, pray over your body, over your health, plead the blood of Jesus. You rule and you reign. What I think Jesus Christ wants to get across to you, yes, this is about the life of Christ. But he's not so focused on his life as he is on what he did for you, that you partake of his life today. Not just when you get to heaven. He wants you to live in that eternal, abundant life now. So that you're ruling and reigning now. So that the body of Christ wakes up and realizes what's been given to them. It's like somebody depositing $1 million into a savings account in your name, but you just don't know they did it. Until you know they did it and you know how to access it, it doesn't benefit you. You can have it, but it doesn't benefit you until you know it and you know how to access it. You know how to use it. You've got to know how to access it and use it. And what you have been given to you in the name of Jesus Christ is better than $1 million. Better. Because it'll work in exercising it in money, too, and commanding the devil, release the money to me that I need. Release that $6,000 in Jesus' name. And you stand and you fight. But we've got to fight. And in some areas, even God's been showing me, there were some areas where I started to get a little passive without realizing it. And so now, okay, I'm standing up and saying, hey, we drew the line. You're not coming past this line in the name of Jesus. In your finances, you've got to do that. You got to do it with kids in discipline. They like to push the line sometimes. You've got to establish where that line is. I've had to do it with you guys. Because there are some people that will respect where the line is. You know what? The rules are usually made for the people that break them. Unfortunately, then everybody has to abide by them. But it's for the one or two that want to push them and break them that you've got to make them. It really is true. And so it's for the couple that want to break them or push them, like the makeup exams. Either you push me backwards in that until we're making every exam becomes a makeup exam, and then I got to change the rules. So rules are made for our benefit, though, right? They're made to help us. We're on life. Jesus came to bring us abundant life. Jesus made it possible for man to be restored to God and restored to reigning in life. Adam lost dominion over his spirit and soul. He lost dominion over all the works of God's hands that had been given to him. And he lost it in the fall. Jesus restored man's right for dominion over spirit and soul. And he restored man's dominion over all the works of God's hand. He regained man's dominion for him. You are a kingly being created in the image and likeness of God. Now, go ahead and turn to Psalm 8, and we're going to look at verses 4, 5, and 6. This is part of the abundant life. He came that you would have life and you would have it abundantly. Now, I want you to look at this and I want you to see this. We're looking at what the life of Jesus Christ did, what he did for you and what he restored to you. So if we look at how God originally created mankind, what we will understand is what Jesus restored it to be. God created it a certain way. Adam lost dominion. Jesus Christ got it back. Now look at this. Now your version may be a little different, but this is Psalm 8, verse 5. Yet thou hast made him, this is speaking about man and man's dominion. Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God. Now some versions might say angels, some might say Elohim, and it might say that in your little footnotes, but I'm going to read that again. Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God. God made you a little lower than God. And dost crown him with glory and majesty. Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This is God's will for you. That means God made us as much like himself as possible. We are the same class of being that he is himself. In Hebrew, the word Elohim is the same word or name for God. It is God. And in the first five chapters of Genesis, every time the name of God is written in there, it's Elohim. So in other words, the first five chapters of Genesis, it's saying Elohim, Elohim, meaning God, God. And we see that here. God made man a little lower than himself. You are the same class as God. God took something of himself, which was spirit, the life of God, and put it into man. In other words, God put part of himself into you. Now let me read some of this to you. God made man's body out of the dust of the ground and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. The Hebrew word translated breath is the same word translated spirit all through the Old Testament. So God made man his understudy. He made him king to rule over everything that he had in life. Man was master. Man lived in the realm of God. He lived on terms of equality with God. Now God is a faith God. All he had to do was simply say, let there be light in Genesis 1:3, and there was light. God created everything except man by speaking it into being, speaking it into existence. He is a faith God. God made a man a faith man because man belongs to God's class. A faith man lives in the creative realm of God. So this is the end of the weakness, man being weak. I am not saying that man is God. We are not saying that. But what we are saying is that man is made in the likeness and image of God, which we know. But this is giving us understanding that God originally created us to rule and reign on this earth. Now, some of that was lost through what Adam lost. But some of that has been lost in the church in understanding what Jesus Christ brought back to mankind when he died on the cross, what was restored to man. And because it hasn't been taught in the church, the believers don't know and understand, and the believers aren't walking in the fullness that they could be walking in. The believers aren't walking around like they rule and reign in life because they don't know they do. They still think they're being beat up by the devil and they're waiting until they get to heaven when everything's better. Well, everything will be better when they get to heaven, but it's on this earth that Jesus Christ wants us to rule and reign. Pray, exercise authority, speak things into being, pray things out, exercising that authority. How can God run things if the believers don't know they've got a part? How can God run a kingdom if the kings and queens don't know they're kings and queens? You are a king and a queen, and God is waiting for somebody to stand up and say, I get it. Okay, use me. I get it. I get it. There are so many things we go to God and we ask him to do, but he's already done them for us. This is a revelation that I want you to get. This is a revelation I believe Jesus wants you to get. This is a revelation that I believe he's still opening my eyes to see more and more of. There are some things that if we're passive, we don't get the God results that we want. And it goes back to that whole thing of demand in his name. That word ask, whatever you ask in my name, it shall be done for you. That word ask there means to demand. You're not demanding it of Jesus, you're demanding it in his name. You're demanding it from the devil. You're demanding your rights as a king or queen on this earth. You rule and you reign. And God started showing me, and I've heard ministers speak on it, but until you get the revelation yourself that there are things where people have been passive, that if they would get aggressive in those things and demand their rights from the devil, no more stealing, devil, in Jesus' name. No more stealing our stuff. No more stealing my clients. Then we start to partake of ruling and reigning on this earth. He gave us dominion over everything that's alive, over life. He told Adam to name the animals. Now, that doesn't mean we exercise our dominion over somebody else's free will. They're, you know, individual's free will is different. But over your life, you have dominion. In your family, in your household, over your children, you have dominion. And you exercise that dominion. I keep thinking of the example of some neighbors that live near me, and their kid kept going upstairs in my house. I was trying to be kind and friendly. And then I finally started thinking to myself, now, I'm done. This is my house, and the parent's not doing anything about it. And so now I'm gonna exercise my right here. And so I said, your child's not going upstairs in my house anymore, and your child's not to come in my house unless they knock and they're invited in. Sometimes you just have to declare what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. People have all different ways of bringing up their kids. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm still working on it. But we have different rules that we set up. And kids have different personalities, and you've got to work with their personalities. But it's not okay for them to climb over the fence into my backyard. I think of this because I just think of this is what, I mean, the devil does nasty stuff if you let him. We won't let him anymore, will we? No. My backyard is my backyard. It's very small, but what's there is mine. That's my little backyard. And when I want privacy, I want privacy. And there's none in the front yard because that's where all the kids are, you know. So if I've got them climbing over the fences and walking in my front door, I'm thinking, this is too much for me. We're going to have to set down some boundary lines. It's the same way with the devil. You just have to set down some boundary lines. They're Christian kids, okay? So I'm not saying they're like the devil. They're not like the devil. But what I am saying is that the devil will try to trespass on your property and push your lines and your boundary lines if you will allow him. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. What Jesus Christ came to do for you was to bring you eternal life. That eternal life is the abundant life. It is the very nature of God has been put on the inside of you. He didn't just give you the nature of God for you to then be miserable the rest of your life on this earth until you get to heaven. He gave you the very nature of God and then restored to you the dominion to rule and reign on this earth. You are called a royal priesthood. You are children of God Almighty. You are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You've been given the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. He already defeated the devil publicly, made a public display of him. That authority then over the devil has been given to you, and you've got the authority and the right to use the name of Jesus. What you allow will be allowed. When you decide to rise up and say, that's it, that's enough, no more, then that's where the line will be drawn. And what God started showing me is he showed me anywhere that we receive, this is more revelation, anywhere that we receive less than what the Word of God says, and we allow that, it's as though we've made a treaty with the enemy. We've accepted it. In other words, we're content with that. And I started realizing, I don't want to do that. That's not my heart's intention. So I've got to stand up in some areas that I didn't realize, because there's some areas that I haven't seen the total fullness that I think I should see as to what the Word of God says in every area. So now I'm standing in some of those areas. I'm not making any treaty, certainly not willingly. But see, that's what I feel like God was showing me, is that you may not realize it, but just by the fact that you're not demanding the right for certain things, you're allowing, being passive, basically. And so what he was showing me is, don't be passive. Now, I'm not talking about demanding from God. I'm talking about demanding from the devil. Realize that we live in a spiritual realm. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities and the rulers of darkness. That's what I want to open up your eyes to see. So if there's an area where you know there's a promise of God in there, my God shall meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and you are a giver, then that word should be fulfilled in your life. Your needs should be met. And if they're not, you've got a right to rise up and demand, devil, restore. Because the word of God will be fulfilled and is fulfilled in my life now. I have the promises from God, and you won't steal them from me in Jesus' name. So release the promises to me now in Jesus' name. Again, we're not demanding from God. We're demanding in the spiritual realm from the enemy, using the name of Jesus. God needs his children to rise up in the area of ruling and reigning. God needs his children to have a voice. God needs his children to stand up and say homosexuality is wrong. Lesbianism is wrong. God needs his children to say, if I see that come on the TV, I won't watch it. Because otherwise we're just allowing it to wear down. God needs his children to say, fornication is not okay. And not to entertain yourself on it. How about that? Not to entertain yourself on fornication. You know, and there's lots of shows, these hip young kids, and ooh, we're just, you know, we're the cool kids. We all hang out together, and, you know, and there's some shows that, you know, people have told me they watch, and I flicked them on to see, and I'm thinking, just sin left and right. Like it's normal. It's not normal. It's not godly. It's not okay. And that decay process keeps going. God needs the believers to stand up for righteousness and say, if you don't want to catch a sexual disease, don't have sex before marriage. There's one good way to, instead of going around handing out condoms, go around and tell them there are sexual diseases out there. You don't want them, don't mess around. You ought to know who you're marrying and what they've done and what's going on with them. And you ought to date for a long time. I mean, God can heal things, but do you hear what I'm saying in this? So we need to teach them these things. We need to give them understanding. We need to stand up and have a voice. Stand up and have a voice for righteousness. Where are we going to draw the lines? Where are we going to draw the lines? And so start in your own life and some of the stuff you put in to the eye gate, to the ear gate, so that you don't numb out your own spirit to adultery, so that you don't numb out your own spirit to these sexual sins that are on TV. And be careful about it. What are we entertaining ourselves on? Sin? We got to shake that stuff off. wait a second, not okay. And that may mean less and less entertainment for us believers. It may. That may be part of the price we're going to have to pay. Stay away from some of that stuff because it's so ungodly. Make sure they still shock you. Do you hear me? Where are you going to draw the line? Because it starts in your own personal life. I'm not pointing the finger. I've got some stuff I've looked at. I got a video that I didn't really know what was in it. And so now I'm going to take it back to them and say, this is disgusting. You can have this back. It should disgust us. So I want to let them know this is disgusting, but at the same time, I don't want them to give it to somebody else. So what do? We need to stand up and have a voice, and we need to start in our own life. Keep your heart pure. Let it shock you. It is gross. It is bad. It is bad. It should be shocking. All these young people that think they're just going to hang out and just, you know, I can think of one show, by the end of the show, I think everybody had slept with everybody. And they were all supposedly friends. And people entertain themselves on that. Don't you watch that show? I'm like, oh, but that's friendship, all right. It's not godly friendship. Okay, so what I want you to get out of this is that Jesus wants you to rule and reign. He came that you could have life, abundant life. He came so that you could have the nature of God put on the inside of you. He came to restore what Adam lost. He came so that you could be a king and a queen on this earth in the name of Jesus, rule and reign, and have life and have abundant life. He wants you to have that abundant life. And this is about the life of Christ because this is what he put on my heart as being the most important thing for you to understand about his life is what he came to do for you to understand, to receive that and apply that so that you can function as the body of Christ the way he wants you to function, so that you can walk in your authority on this earth as he's called you, anointed you, and God ordained you to walk in some things. God ordained you to have a voice in some places, that you're going to have a voice and you're going to speak out and you're going to minister in a way that maybe somebody else doesn't have access to. But he's going to raise you up to speak, to have a voice, and he's going to give you opportunity to stand up for righteousness. And we are to be his voice on this earth. Amen.